We are continuing on in our series on Sunday evenings on In Step with Jesus. You're probably starting to, you're not to believe that this is a geographical study. We haven't looked at it for a while. Jesus has been in Jerusalem now for a little while, at least through the scriptures, and he's not gone anywhere. And so we're not looking at maps right now. We're not looking at the geography. Jesus hasn't left. But once we get through John chapter 3, we have the story of Nicodemus, which we're just about ready to start this evening. Once we leave that, then Jesus is going to do a little bit of moving here soon. So we'll get back to the maps. But tonight I do have some visual things that we're going to look at, and I think that will be a blessing to you. So take your Bibles while I get a drink and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, please. Let's go to the Gospel of John in chapter 3. You pray for my voice. A couple people mentioned this morning my voice was getting weaker, and then all of a sudden it got a little better. The Lord must have done that. So you pray the same thing. Right now it seems like it's getting weak pretty rapidly, as I've hardly been up here for a minute. So John chapter 3, let me go ahead and get there. As you're turning here, we have looked at a number of things that have taken place in Jesus' life, and we've been learning different pathways. The goal, and the key of looking at Jesus' pathway and where he's going is not just to trace his steps geographically, which, by the way, is that important for us to understand where Jesus has been? I think it is. I think it's very helpful. I have heard so many people say, and I don't say this by experience because I've never been there, but so many people have said, I've heard pastors, evangelists, missionaries that have said, those who have been over to the land of Israel are so greatly impressed, and it affects so much of what they do in their lives because they've seen the place where Jesus was. They've seen where he's walked. They've seen where he has done the miracles. They've seen all of it, and it has an effect on you. Well, we don't really have the ability as a congregation just to pick up and move ourselves to Israel, but I think one thing that we can do is try to picture ourselves there and put ourselves there, look at pictures, look at the geography, look and see where things are at. And we've done a fair bit of that up till a while ago, until Jesus came to Jerusalem. But I hope that you're still reviewing those places and where they are. I almost did that tonight, another review. Maybe next week we'll get into it again on the map. But we're not just trying to trace his steps in our mind so that we know, okay, this was north, northwest, and then south, and southeast. And that's not the whole point. The biggest thing that we need to do is see where Jesus went, but then where he went, what did he do, and how did he respond and confront life? Because that's where we're at. We're going to go different places, and we need to respond and act and confront the world like Jesus did. And so we have learned a number of different pathways in which Jesus was there, confronted with a certain thing, and then this is what we saw Jesus and how he acted. And then we have applied that to our lives. This is how we ought to act as well. So we find ourselves in John chapter 3. And here he is. And he has just gone through the Passover time. And now he is. There's a lot of people here. And we have a visitor. And that is a man that is going to come and visit Jesus. Let's look and read a few verses here. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So here we have Nicodemus in the Jewish group of people. This is a leader. This is a high-end person. This is somebody that is put up there, that's a wise person, that's a smart person, that is very close to the Jewish customs, traditions, and the law. Here we have this Pharisee coming to Jesus, Nicodemus by name. Now, verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice Jesus' response in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here we have Jesus recognizing Nicodemus's real need. Nicodemus's real need. Notice the statement that Nicodemus made about Jesus. What did he say in verse 2? He said, Rabbi. By the way, what's rabbi? Okay, teacher. What's another name for it? Master. Master, my master. There's a personal application with this word. It's my master, my great one, my honorable sir, my teacher. And he refers to him as teacher here in just a moment. He called him rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. So this is what Nicodemus is saying about Jesus. He says, hey, we know that you're a master. We know that you're a leader. We know that you are a great one. We know that you're a man of honor. We know that you're a teacher. See, what Nicodemus is doing here is he's putting Jesus kind of on the human level on the same plane as he is. Nicodemus was a great man as well. He was one of these men that was looked up to. He was a man that knew the customs and traditions and the law. He was one of these men, and he's saying, we know that you're one of these also. And notice he says, a teacher come from God. Now, is this an interesting statement that Nicodemus makes? You're a rabbi, you're a teacher that comes from God. He called him rabbi, he called him teacher. He obviously did not truly understand who Jesus was. And who was Jesus? He was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Did Nicodemus understand that at this point? He didn't. He said, you're a teacher come from God. You're a rabbi come from God. And he recognizes that. Now, Nicodemus doesn't ask a question here, but he makes a statement. Okay? He makes a statement. He says, rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he had observed Jesus and what he did, and his conclusion was what? I think he knew only God could do it, but God must have sent this man to do these things. So he says, the conclusion is we see that you're a master, we see that you're a teacher, and we're seeing and we're observing that you're doing these miracles, and we know that these miracles only come from God. But his conclusion was wrong. His conclusion was that he was a man of God. He didn't understand that he was God. Now, what would be the logical response of what we would answer if we were in Jesus' shoes? What would we have done? Right away, probably what I would have done was start defending who I was and where and why I had the authority to do what I had been doing. But that's not what Jesus did. In fact, when we read verse 3, did Jesus start defending who he was? No. What did he say? What did he bring to Nicodemus? Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, what did we say this morning? What does that mean? Truly, truly, and what does the practical application of those two words mean to us? Listen up, right? Listen up, because I'm going to say something profound. Nicodemus, you have made a statement, you've made some observations, but I want you to listen, because what I'm about to say is very important. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what do you say to that statement? Jesus, why are you talking to him about eternal life? Why are you talking to him about being born again? That's not what Nicodemus asked. You see, this issue, this statement, this concern was just a sidetrack, a side note to what Nicodemus really needed. Nicodemus did not need to understand right now his miracles. Nicodemus needed to understand one profound truth, and that was that this man, Jesus, this good man, was not just a man. He was God. Nicodemus needed to understand the real issue. Salvation, being born again. If you're taking notes, the next pathway, it's been a while since we've done this, but the next pathway that Jesus brings us to is this. Mark it down if you're taking notes. But this pathway of seeing people's real heart needs and issues. Now again, when I look at this, I look at it and I say, okay, this man has a wrong perspective of who I am, or who Jesus is. So I need to give him the answers of this issue. Do you understand that people have a lot of issues and a lot of questions and a lot of things in their lives on the outside? But folks, what we need to do is we need to start being able to read people and understand that they have deeper needs than what their superficial issues are bringing out. And Jesus was able to tell that. Okay, this man was saying, I don't understand. You know, we recognize that you're this kind of a person because we're watching you do this. Jesus knew, okay, the first thing that Nicodemus needs, he's not even going to understand about me coming from God. He's not even going to be able to comprehend about me being God in the flesh. No way that Nicodemus was ready for that. There was a key thing that he needed, and that was a hard issue that Jesus had to dig deeper and go to, and that was, this man needs to be saved before he's going to be able to understand any of this stuff. Have you ever been at work and somebody picked your brain and started to come to you and ask you a question about Bible things, and you know what? You tried to answer them and it didn't work. Have you ever had that happen? And what's the problem? Why they don't get it? What is their real need? This coworker needs to be saved. I want to encourage you something. You know what? You have a coworker, you have a relative, you have somebody that you run into that recognize that you are a religious person. Okay, and that's not, by the way, that's not the goal that you want people to see, that you're a religious person. What ought to be the goal that people ought to look at you and see at work and wherever you're at? What ought people to see? The person of Jesus Christ. That's who they need to see. You need to point them to Christ. And if they don't have Christ, they need to get Christ. When they get Christ, they get light. They get life. They get that view of him. And that's when their hearts and minds are going to open up to a lot of things. You know what? There are a lot of people in the world that have a lot of questions about religious things or things from the Bible. And I'll tell you what, you can go rounds and rounds and rounds with people and trying to point them to the truth. But folks, if they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, they will not be illumined. They will not be able to see the truth. And it's not really going to make sense, even if they take your word for it. It's not going to work. And Nicodemus has this superficial issue that he says, you know what? You know, how is this? You are a man of God. You're a good man. You're a rabbi. You're a teacher. How, you know, we're watching you do these things. It must be from God. Jesus didn't waste any time addressing the superficial issue. He went straight to the heart. He says, listen, you need to be born again. You need Jesus. You need to be born again. What can we learn from this? And we're not even gonna dive into the gospel tonight and what being born again, we'll have to get into that next week. But I want you to see this pathway that we're looking at is we need to get to the place as we deal with other Christians or even unbelievers in the world, we need to step back and not always try to address the outside issue, but recognize what really this person needs. And especially if we're out in the world, the main thing that what a person needs, like Jesus identified here, was first of all, they need Christ. Beyond that, as a Christian, you might be dealing with another Christian that's got some struggles and some questions, and they're asking you some things. Folks, there are a lot of things that come on the outside that are just symptoms that we need to be able to have discernment in our Christian walks as we mature that, wait a second, this is a symptom. We need to treat the real issue before we move on. We spend a lot of times as Christians trying to address people's symptoms without addressing their true heart problem. You know, I have a struggle with that in the physical world, in the medical world. Again, I'm not against the medical world, the physical world, but I tell you what, a lot of what sometimes the doctors do is treat the symptoms and not get to the heart of the issue. Have you found that true? You know, I went one time we took, I can't believe I'm even telling you this, but one time we took one of our children to the doctor for something. There was something wrong with it, and I can't even remember what it was. But we went there, and we were asking the question, you know, what we need, and what is this? And the doctor looked at us, and he just said, oh, you need to get on some sort of a antibiotic that does this, this, and this, and, you know, they'll clear it right up. And hey, that might be the answer sometimes for some things. And whatever the case, but I asked him a question. I said, you know, now how is an antibiotic going to fix this or whatever? You know, is this just going to be, in other words, is this just going to be a fixing of the symptom thing, or is this going to fix the problem? What's the deal? You know, when I asked the doctor, I wasn't trying to be critical of him or anything. I just asked, is this? And I somehow it came out, is this what you would do? And I'll never forget the answer that doctor told me. He said, to tell you the truth, this is just going to, and again, I don't know if he exactly said this, but he said, you know what? Not necessarily I wouldn't give my kids this. I said, really? He said, no, I've come to realize that people just want to hear a certain thing, and I tell people what they want to hear. That doctor, truth, told me that. I said, if that's just what we're doing here, then I don't really need that. Now, why do I tell you that? It has nothing to do with the medical world and doctors, because I think there's an absolute place for it, and God allows it, and God uses it. But you see, what was the problem with that doctor? Was he wanting to fix a problem, or is he wanting just to get us out of there happy to go and to take something and just to think that everything was taking place? Folks, sometimes in our spiritual world, we do the same thing, though. We look at a person that has a certain problem, and we try to just address that need, but we're missing the bigger problem. Why is that person struggling with this? There's usually a heart issue, a deeper need. Jesus recognized that here. Nicodemus has a need. He needs Christ before we talk about who Jesus is. Have you ever had a piece of metal that you wanted to paint up and it was rusty? Now tell me, what's going to happen if you take some white, nice white paint that just great, it covers everything, and you've got a rusty piece of metal there, and you take that and you don't treat the rust or do anything else, and you just paint white over it. And boy, as soon as you paint over it, what does it look like? It looks great, doesn't it? But what happens after it dries? That rust comes right through it. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've done some things, and you think it's perfect, and then when you know, whether it takes a day or two or whatever, that paint cures, and that rust comes right back through. You see, it doesn't work to deal with the superficial. It doesn't work to deal with the outer things. We've got to get, what do you need to do with that piece of metal? Either need to replace it, or you need to get that rust off of there completely, and then treat it, and then do it. We need to treat the real issue instead of just the symptoms. Now I want to illustrate this on the board. We had a couple technical difficulties. I wanted it up here. I wanted to print out. None of those worked, so we got to go to the whiteboard. Okay, so you be patient with me as we do this. I want to look at the heart of the problem. I think this is going to help. I think it'll make sense as we endeavor to help people out and be a blessing to them. Okay, we're going to look at this heart problem. And I would encourage you to take notes, because this is going to be something that will really help you out as you help other people. A heart problem. Now, I'm not an artist, so this isn't going to look so nice, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to divide this heart up. Okay, or I'm going to divide it. No, we're going to call this whole circle here, we're going to say this is our body. This is our life, okay? This is our body. And I'll try to make sure that everybody can see this. Here's our body. And we're gonna divide this body up. You tell me when I get 16 pieces here. We got it? All right. Here we have on the inside, we're going to put right inside here our heart. Okay. Here's our heart. Let's say that somebody is having a struggle with devotions. Now we look at that, and you got a friend that's just saying, you know what, I have a struggle with my devotions. I'm not having the Word of God. Now, what do we typically do with that? All right, we got to get you in the Word of God, right? I want you to start reading your Bible and spend 10 minutes a day with it. And we treat that issue, okay? But what's really the problem? Why is a person not having their devotions? Okay? There might be some selfishness inside, right? I don't want to spend the time. But you see, if we don't go to the heart issue, which I would submit to you is selfishness here, If I don't want to do that, it might be something else. It might be an issue of pride. It might be, I don't think that I need that. It might be just sinful lust and desires and things that I don't value that, and so I'm not doing it. I treasure something more to that. But what we'll do is we'll try to deal with the issue of devotions, and we'll fall flat, we'll fall short each time because we're not dealing with the hard issue. Let's say that somebody has a struggle with their thoughts. And we want to help them. So what do? We got to deal with our thoughts. And you got to think right. And I want you to start thinking about this and replace it with this. And we deal with our thoughts. But why does a person have wrong thoughts? Same thing. There's lust inside. Maybe there's pride. Maybe there is selfishness there. And so therefore, they are having these thoughts because they want to think about this and they hope to have it. But we deal with the thoughts and we're missing the point. And there's a lot of things. We have disrespect of authority. I'm just going to put authority. Maybe a person is very disrespectful. And so we say, I'm going to deal with that teenager that's very disrespectful. And we say, I don't want you to say this anymore. You do this and you're going to get this punishment. You're going to deal with that. What's the problem with disrespect to the authority? There's a heart issue. And what's the heart issue? Probably they're proud. Right? They're proud. And they don't want somebody telling them what to do. It could be that they're selfish. It could be that they value and treasure things of themselves. Could be lust. Could be some things. But I'll tell you what, if we just deal with the authority issue, we're going to miss the point and it's going to surface again. We've got to get to the heart issue. We have people that struggle with maybe teens with their siblings. Okay, we have issues with that. Why does a person have struggles with other people? And we could forget the siblings, the brothers and sisters. Let's say just on a regular level of all humans. What's our problem when we have a hard time getting along with other brothers and sisters? Are you noticing we're coming back to the same things? What's probably the issue? Pride? Selfishness? Maybe our own lust inside of the things that we want? Desires? But we try to, all right, I want you to be kind to your brother and sister. If you do this, you're going to go in the corner. And we deal with the sibling issue. We deal with this level, but we're not getting to the heart issue. Somebody has problems with entertainment. Okay, entertainment. They're doing this. What do we like to treat? You ought to turn your television off. You ought not to watch this. You ought to do this. You ought to guard yourself. You ought to put this on your TV that it guards you and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. What do you got to deal with? There's a heart issue there. Why is a person watching the TV? Why is a person entertaining themselves in the way that they're doing that? What's the problem? They've probably got some lust and desires, selfish things. They've got some selfishness inside. It might be pride. I don't know, but it's a heart issue. We have a tendency to deal with the outer issue. And I could go all around, and I don't know what time we're dealing with here, but what about bitterness? Is bitterness an issue? Do people struggle with bitterness and anger, resentment towards other people? And what we want to do is we want to deal with the bitterness and say, you need to get right with your bitterness. What's the heart issue? We come back to the same thing. There's probably a lot of pride inside, a lot of selfishness that we cannot forgive somebody else that's hurt us. Maybe some lust and desires that we have in ourselves. We see bitterness. And we don't have time to go around in all of these. Let me put rebellion. Might be towards parents or authority, or might be just towards God. What's the real heart issue? Pride and selfishness. We can deal with people and telling the truth. Let's just say honesty. We have issues of kind of like entertainment, but we have, you know, maybe books and magazines, you know, literature that people read. By the way, is all literature good? I want to tell you, there's a lot of corrupt literature, and you need to be careful with the literature you put in there. A lot of people think that they can read and put up with things and just, you know, take the truth and spit out the garbage that's there. But I want to tell you, friends, you better be careful with that mentality. You better be really careful because it will change your thinking. It would change your mentality. It would change your thoughts. But we like to do that. We take away the books and the magazines. But I want to tell you something. You take away books and magazines in a teenager's heart that doesn't have a right heart, and they're going to find something else because you didn't deal with the heart issue. Is it starting to make sense what we're talking about here? What do we need to deal with in people? We need to get to the heart issue. We have issues of idolatry. Okay, we talked about idolatry in Sunday school this morning. Idols. And people follow after things. And by the way, idolatry is what again? It's putting something before God. Anything. Do we have a problem with idolatry in 2018? We do. We might not hold a little idol in our hands, but I'll tell you what, we put a lot of things before God. And America's put a lot of things before God. Christianity in our independent fundamental Baptist church is putting a lot of things before God. But I want to tell you something, we need to deal with it. But, you know, taking away the idol isn't going to do it. You know, for me, my idol was football and my weightlifting and all the physical things, you know, in high school and college and even after that for a little while. And I want to tell you something, that taking those things away isn't the issue. What needed to happen was God needed to get to the heart of this individual. God needs to change the heart. We have issues of, you know, why don't people go to church? Just because they don't like church? Just because they're bored of church? I want to tell you the reason why people don't like to come to church is because there's a heart issue. There's a heart issue. There's a problem inside. They don't appreciate and understand what Jesus Christ has done for them, and they don't treasure and value the church just like Jesus did. By the way, Jesus died for the church. Let me ask you a question. Did he care about the church? Was the church important to him? But I want to tell you, you can get a person to come to church, but if you haven't dealt with the heart issue, which is usually pride and selfishness, then you've not dealt with the issue, and it's not going to be taken care of. What about pornography? Oh, Pastor, we don't have that issue in our church. I'll tell you, I bet you we do. But why does a person get hooked and controlled on pornography? Is it just because he has a bad habit of pornography? No, he's got a wrong heart. His heart is wrong. He's proud, he's selfish, he's got lusts and desires that he wants to fulfill. You see, it comes back to a heart issue. So we have pornography. We have modesty and distinctiveness, which is an issue in our churches. Modesty. If we gave everybody a suit, if we gave everybody a tie and a dress, and if we put them into certain clothes that we call and label holy clothes, do you think that's going to make everybody just right? Is everybody going to be godly because we deal with the issue of modesty and we give them a gown to wear? And boy, everybody's wearing the right things tonight in church. Everybody must be right with God. Is that the truth? No, what's the issue? There's a heart issue inside. Why do people dress the way they do? Because they're proud and they're selfish and they have lusts and desires. Okay, I hope that you're getting the point here. So we have modesty and distinctiveness. We have friends. We have friends and issues with the people that we hang around. You know what? We can eliminate a friend, but does that take care of our situations in life? Does removal of a thing take care of us? No. We always got to look at the replacement principle. There's something wrong. Why does that person hang out with them? Birds of a feather flock together. Why do they go to that person? Because they've got it in their own heart. And they're going to find somebody else that has the same kind of heart. They're proud, they're selfish, they've got their lusts and desires. It's a heart issue that we need to find. Today we deal with things like social media. Let me ask you a question. Is that an issue? Is it a problem? You think it's okay to be involved in all the social media? I want to tell you, parents, you better be careful what your children do with this social media stuff. It'll kill them. And it'll destroy them. You better be very careful with it. But I'm not just talking to children. Adults, you better be careful with what you're doing on the internet. And we could talk a lot about that another time, and this is not the time and place to get into it, but I want to tell you something. Get into it. But let's say that you have a friend that's involved with this. Is it going to answer their problems by just putting a password on their computer or on the internet or taking it away from home? I want to tell you something. The answer to the problems in our society with murders and everything like that, the problem is not the guns. And I'm not getting on some political kick right now that I want to. It's what we're dealing with. This is exactly the illustration of what we're talking about. The problem is not the gun. And I'm not saying that guns need to be everywhere that they can possibly put them, but the problem is not the guns. The problem is the heart of man that's going to find it anyway. It's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about here. These guys that are doing it are not walking down to Cabela's and getting a little pistol. They're getting in other places that they're going to get, whether they are legal or not. And why do they do what they do? Because they had access to a gun? Folks, it's a heart issue. And see, Jesus understood that. He didn't waste time with Nicodemus talking about deity. No, he said, this man needs to be saved. You see, we've got to start having eyes of Jesus. When this person has a problem with bitterness or a problem with their entertainment or a problem with their thoughts or a problem with modesty, we don't deal with that right away. We need to say, okay, what is the issue? Is there pride? Is there selfishness inside? Is there lust and desires that they think that they ought to have? We've got to get to the heart. A person has a problem with music. What they listen to. By the way, is music a big issue? Does music have the power to change a person, destroy a person? I want to tell you that it does. Music is a big issue, but I tell you what. A kid at camp that makes a decision about his music and then goes home and throws it all away, that's a good first step. But is that the only step? Is he just turned into a good kid now? No. You see, we've got to deal with a heart issue. And every one of these things is connected. Do you notice that there's an empty circle here? Because you know what? When you have bad thoughts, there's a good chance that you're going to have problems with media. And you're going to have the wrong friends. You're probably going to have a problem with modesty. You see, these things are all connected. And the only way to deal with the real issue is to do what? You got to take each one of these spokes back to where they came from. And that is where? It all comes from the heart. Take your Bibles really quickly and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. What does the verse say? Keep thy what? Does he say keep thy thoughts? Keep thy authority right? Keep your sibling relationships right? Keep your entertainment right? Keep your honesty right? Keep your idolatry right? Keep church right? Keep modesty? Is that what he says? What does he say to keep right? He says keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You see, these things out here, these things are the issues of life. The reason why we have a problem with all these things is because we have a wrong heart. In the book of Jeremiah, God tells us that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And by the way, who can know it? God does. God knows our heart. He knows our issues. And it's time that we get our heart issues right. God says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means guard your heart. You need to protect your heart. And let's make some conclusions. What is the heart? Now, the Bible refers to the heart in several different ways with which we reviewed. I want to submit to you tonight in what we're looking at. The biggest issues of the heart, I want to say number one, is going to be pride. I want to tell you something. If you can trace almost all sin back to, you're going to come to pride. What was the sin that the devil was kicked out of? Why was the devil kicked out of heaven? Lucifer, in the beginning. What was his problem? He was proud. He thought that he deserved much. And I want to tell you, all sin, from there, it just went rampant. That sin just, he didn't just stick with the pride issue. All the issues of life come out of that, and you can link everything, every one of these things to the devil. The devil wants every one of these issues of life to come out of your life. It comes from pride. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of proud people in our world. There's a lot of proud people sitting right here. I want to tell you something. I deal with pride. Let me ask you something. Do you deal with pride? I think if truth be told, every single one of us would have to raise our hands. We've got pride issues. Why we do what we do is because we're proud people. Number two down there, I'm running out of room. Number two down there is probably selfishness. And very much linked to that, but there's selfishness. And selfishness, if we say, probably comes from pride. Wouldn't you agree? We're selfish. Why? Because we're proud. But I would still link selfishness down there with one of these three major reasons why, you know, the heart issues of why we're this way. We're proud, we're selfish, and number three is our lusts and our desires. And again, lusts and desires probably come from selfishness, which comes from pride. And I think the three are handed down, pride, selfishness, and lust. I'm sorry for the horrible writing. Crooked. But I want to tell you something, that when we look at people with issues in life, let's not go to these right here. Let's take a step back and say, okay, what really is this person dealing with? Are we dealing with a lust and desire issue? Are we dealing with maybe a selfishness issue? They're very selfish and everything is revolved around them. Maybe we're looking at a pride issue and say, you know what, everything, you know, all they think about is themselves, and they think that they are something that they're not. And folks, when we recognize the heart issue and we guard the heart and take care of the heart, you know what else it will take care of? According to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it will take care of the issues of life. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus recognized Nicodemus's situation. Nicodemus threw one of these things out there to him. And God says, Nicodemus, we'll deal with that. But let's deal with the heart. And what I didn't put up here is for the unsaved. The issues are still pride, selfishness, and lust. But they need Christ before they can deal with any of these things. The answer to people's getting right is not reform. Jesus Christ. And as we come to Jesus Christ, we must deal with these things. What are the symptom type things that we see with people? What are the heart issues that are in people's hearts? We need to begin to identify what these heart issues are. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. We're just about done here. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Now we're looking at the perspective that Jesus had here as the counselor when you're trying to help people out. Yes, this might help you out in your own life. Maybe you're identifying heart problems that you have along with your issues of life. But from this perspective, as we look at Jesus helping somebody else, we're looking at us being the counselors here, being helpers to people. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5, notice what it says. Counsel in the heart of man is like a deep water. A man of understanding will draw it out. You see, if we're going to be understanding counselors, we need to look a little bit deeper into the deeper waters and try to pull out the root of the problem, the heart issue. Parents, you know what? Your children, your teens, you're going to have a lot of symptoms, a lot of issues of life. It's time that we get to the heart of the problem. One last verse, James chapter 1 and verse 19. Again, from the side of the counselor, we need to be ready to do this. You know, as counselors, we hear all these superficial issues of life, and we're ready to address the situation with authority with this teen's life. We're ready to address the situation with honesty and telling the truth, or the pornography or the modesty. We're ready to do that. What we ought to do is maybe take a step back and close our mouths and listen. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Did you hear that? Be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Jesus leads us through a pathway here. I was just amazed when I started looking at this. I say, Jesus didn't even address the situation. And at first, I thought Jesus didn't even address the man's question or his comment. But let me ask you, was Jesus addressing this man's comment? He was. Why was he? Because he was going to his heart. And I'll tell you what, if Nicodemus trusted in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, would he be able to understand the things of God? That this man was not just a man of God, a prophet of God? Wait a second, this man is God. I'll tell you what, he would open his eyes to a new world. He would go from looking on this plane to looking on that plane. And that's what happened to Nicodemus. Folks, I want to tell you something. If we want to really be a help to people, we need to stop looking at the superficial. We need to stop looking at the symptoms, and we need to start looking at the heart. Get to the heart of the problem. Let's deal with the pride. Let's deal with the selfishness. Let's deal with the lust. Let's deal with salvation. And the issues of life will come out of that. Father, I pray that we would be people willing to get to the heart of the issue. And maybe it's in our own lives. Maybe we're dealing with a lot of symptoms, and maybe we need to step back and say, you know what? My real problem is I'm proud. Maybe my real problem is that I'm selfish. Or maybe my real problem is that I have lusts and desires in myself that are not, not according to God's desires for me. Lord, I pray that if we identify things in our own lives, that we would get to the heart of our problems. But Lord, from this perspective that Jesus brings to us, God, help us as we see people with issues, not just to jump all over them and deal with the outward issues, but Lord, help us to get to the heart of the matter so that we can genuinely help people, so that they can genuinely be changed, so they can genuinely be converted to Christ or encouraged to live for Christ. God, help us to get to the heart of the matter. God, I thank you for the pathway that you've brought us through tonight. I thank you for Jesus and what he's taught us here. Lord, I pray that we'd be surrendered to give you everything and that we would be willing to follow you where you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.